prepared a word for us. Wait upon the Lord as the man of God comes and share God's word of today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Hallelujah. I pray the pastor will announce more of these weddings before the year runs out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That has been my prayer and our prayer from the beginning of the year. Two down and two more to go. Amen. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. Let us rise up on our feet and let's pray. Father Lord, we say thank you for today. We bless your name. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you because we're alive and we're available in your house and a season like this, Father Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we pray even as we hear your word, we pray, Lord, that it shall take root in our hearts and it shall benefit all of us in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for myself, let it not be me speaking, Father Lord, but let it be you speaking, Father Lord. I pray, Father Lord, that you will help me to connect with the audience today in the mighty name of Jesus. And the way we came will not be the way we're going out. Thank you, Father Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Shake one or two people and you may have your seat. Hallelujah. I was like, you guys are wearing purple. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're all here together with the Friday schools children and adults. So I hope that I can catch all of your attention and you will receive the word in season. I know some people at the back, you love sitting at the back. Today is your day. If I have scriptures, most likely it will come from somewhere at the back. So you have to get yourself prepared. God bless you. Now, about a month ago, I was thinking of what to talk about. I knew I was going to preach in June, but I didn't know which date exactly. And the Lord gave me this word in my mind, and I still was not sure about it. But about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were having our care cell, and we got our young members to share 10 minutes what God has laid on their heart. And they did a fantastic job. There was a word for each of us adults during that care cell meeting. And one of them started sharing. And he started sharing my message. And I was like shocked, you know. And I was sitting next to Sister Heidi. And I said, Sister Heidi, I just opened my tab. And the notes I started jotting. I said, can you see what he was saying? But yet, I still was not sure whether that was the message. But God confirmed it to me on Friday last week. And I'll just tell you a little story. We went out to Kurum City Center, isn't it? My wife went there with my little son, Jesse, and one of Jonathan's friends, and I came to meet them there. And we finished what we were doing, and we were about departing. I drove off, and they were supposed to drive. I was supposed to go back and meet at home. And next thing, before I could get far, I saw my wife calling me on the phone. You know, you just left your wife, and your wife is calling you. Why do you think I'm the problem? There's a problem, isn't it? And if there's a problem, she's calling her knight in shiny armor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, and I picked up the phone, and she said, someone hit my car. I'm like, oh. I said, someone hit your car? And I was trying to say, where? I said, in the parking lot. So I did a U-turn, and I came back. And I came back to buy her fight, isn't it? Am I correct? Who hit her car? I'm coming here to buy the fight. And as I got there, I said, where's the person? She said, no, that the person is not here. That the car, the person reversed, and he hit the car, and he left a note in Arabic with his phone number. Then I said, okay. And I could see it. The person was not paying attention. He must have reversed and hit the car. Then I called the number. I said, who is this? And he said, his name is Surya. I said, yeah, you left your number and everything. I said, you hit my wife. I said, yes. He said, okay, that we'll sort it out. And he was just talking normally. I said, no, I need to sort it out now. Can you come back? Then he said, he'll be back here in 10 minutes. So I waited for 10 minutes. By then, I already met the security. The security came out, and I told them what happened. And he came back. And when he came back, he had a beautiful Mercedes S350, you know. But when the man came out, he was an elderly man. And that just poured water on me, you know. And as he came out, I just saw the man. And the first thing I just said, thank you for being honest. Thank you for leaving your name and number. Thank you also for coming back, isn't it? And I said, yes, this has happened. How are you going to go about it? He said, no, that he will take it somewhere to go and be fixed. And I said, no, I have a particular workshop that I'll take you to. And then he said, okay, but if it's too much, can he take it to my own place? I said, well, let's go to my own workshop first of all. So we did an appointment for the next day, Saturday, to go to the workshop. You understand what I'm saying? And we parted ways. He's from Delhi, you know. And we greeted and we chatted after a while. And the security guy said, everybody is good, I'm fine. Now, as I was driving off, I said, it could have gone the other way. Someone could have reversed and gone, isn't it? But this man had integrity. Am I correct? He had integrity. He left his name and number. Now, that was the confirmation that I'm going to talk about integrity today. Hallelujah. And I built a message on that. Now, you will find out integrity comes in different facets. We have integrity of the Word of God, which no one can break as far as I'm concerned. We have the integrity of the church, and we also have personal integrity. So today I'll be talking about personal integrity. Hallelujah. It's a heavy topic. As we're speaking about it, it's a common topic, but it's a heavy topic. As I'm preaching to it, I'm speaking to you and also to myself also, because we're all work in progress. Hallelujah. Now, there's a passage I want us to open our Bible, because we have our children. We're going to read the Word of God from Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 28. And I would like Daniel Ogusakin to read that for us. I think he's in the back, isn't it? The mic will be given to you. So you stand up, you read loud. That's the way I'll call people. So you have to be ready. Daniel, I hope you have your Bible. I can remember him as the politician Victor. He demonstrated how a politician should speak, so he can speak out loud. Hallelujah.
What verse?
Excellent. Verse 1 to 28. It's a common story, but I want us to go through it, okay? Daniel 6, 1 to 28. Go ahead.
It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satrap might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charges against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom and administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except for you, O king, shall be cast into the dens of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the dens of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petitions 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the dens of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lord, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Daniel saved from the lion's den. Verse 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the dens of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done none wrong before you. Verse 23. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God.
Thank you, Daniel. I think we'll stop there. Hallelujah. I wanted us to read that. It's a common story, but we learn things every day as we read afresh. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to come back to that, but I just wanted us to get the basis on that. Now, what is integrity to all of us? I've put a couple of definitions there. One means a firm adherence to a code, especially moral or artistic values. Incorruptibility. Integrity. Okay? An impaired condition. Something that is contact, isn't it? Something that is complete, something that is sound. Second definition. 3 is the one I want to also look at. We'll also delve slightly more into that. The quality or state of being complete, undivided. Completeness. Am I correct? Now, I summarize that in a sentence. Okay, together. Integrity can be defined as the steadfast adherence to a moral or ethical code. It is the state of quality of being complete. The freedom from corrupting influence or motive. It speaks of consistency. Okay? And it describes someone who is public or what he is in private life. Hallelujah. That, I put that in wordings for us to be able to capture. Now, if you go to the next slide, we know integrity comes from a word meaning integer. Okay? What does integer mean? It means whole. Okay, you have seen there, you've seen the answer there. It means whole. It means one. It means completeness. Now, in our own lives, we know that man is made of body, soul, and what? spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, I've dealt before in another sermon, I've talked about the soul and spirit. But let's look at the body. Your physical body here, you're in a society. Now, your body has different compartments. As we live in Oman, we have different compartments in our life. And there are about five that are mentioned that I can see. Can I have the drawing there? Can I have the diagram there? We have our family life, am I correct? Hallelujah. We have our professional life. Kids are in Friday school. What's your professional life? School. That's your own professional life, isn't it? As of now, school, isn't it? And we have our own social life where you interact with people and you have your own spiritual life. And then you have that your private life. Hallelujah. Now, for you to be someone of integrity, in all of these parts, you must be complete. You must be one. Are we together? Now, sometimes in our private life, it's different from our public life. Are we there? Our family lives, things change. Even the way we speak. Hallelujah. There's something about our children. Hallelujah. When they're at home, they speak one way. When they're with their friends, they speak a different way. Am I correct? For Nigerian, they'll speak the Nigerian English for us. But when they're with their friends, you see they sound American, they sound British. And I'm sure the same thing with the Indians also. You see that they will have the Indian tonation. But when with their friends, sometimes if you're not there and listening, you know it's a child. Hallelujah. It's the same thing with us also. Sometimes we speak different at different fora because we want people to understand us. Spiritual life is what you interact with God. That's the life between you and God. Nobody hardly sees that. Am I correct? And then the private life is what nobody sees. It's only you and you when nobody's watching. My wife will tell me, she rephrases that. She says, that's my me time. Hallelujah. That's my private time, isn't it? And that is what it is. Now, for us, the Cecil that is in church should be the Cecil that we'll see in the office. It's the Cecil that we'll see at home. Am I correct? Sometimes we can come here, church, oh, praise the Lord, brother, how are you? Glory be to God, hallelujah. You get to church and go to the office and they mention anything about God, you just move away. There's no praise the Lord in church and the office. Am I correct? Integer, completeness. Now, when we look at the issue of Daniel, his integrity was rooted in his private life. In that verse 1 to 3, you found out that he had a spirit of excellence from his own private life. You cannot excel if you're not disciplined from your own self. Am I correct? Go and meet anybody that has excelled, whether it's in business or whatever it is. One of the things they have done is that they're disciplined in and out. Are you together? One of the things done by a former MD when he was working in a bank, he said, protect your time. Very, very ambitious, very progressive. 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock. He cuts off like that. He's disciplined with his time. So he found out that Daniel was that disciplined also. And then from there, you found that it reflected in his personal life. From your own personal life, it will reflect. From your own private life, it will come out to your own personal life that people will see. Are we together? And then after that, it's reinforced in our professional life. Okay? From private to personal to professional life. It's reinforced. You could see that in Daniel. When he came out in his professional life between the king, it was professing there. It was showing there. I wonder how the satraps knew that Daniel used to pray constantly. Am I correct? Because he started showing. I was speaking with somebody, and he was telling me a good characteristic of somebody in church. You know, very, very funny, funny youth. But he said something about him, that wherever he goes, he prays before he eats. Are you getting it? So if he goes to McDonald's, he'll pray. How many of us pray in McDonald's? Children, how many of you get McDonald's, you pray first? Raise your hand for me. Most times we just delve into it, isn't it? Hallelujah. But because he used to pray at home, he used to pray at his meal, when he goes to McDonald's and you give it to him, he'll pray. It's showing in his outward life. I'm sure for him, it's just coming as normal. Are we together? I'm just giving that example. And that's why I said it's revealed in our public life. Our behavior matches our belief. That's automatic. Your behavior will match what you believe in. And Daniel did that. They gave a rule. This is what I believe. I'm going to go and pray. Hallelujah. Are we together? Now, examples of lack of integrity. Friday school. I want someone to give me 5 examples of the Bible of people that lack integrity. 5 examples. Anybody? Bible scholars, Friday school, not the adults. I know the adults. 5 people. I just want 5 names in the Bible of people that lack integrity. Yoma, you're raising your hand. Give me the mic, please. Give me 5 people and tell me how they lack integrity in the Bible.
Judas Iscariot.
What did Judas do?
Betray Jesus.
Okay, 1. Second?
I don't know any other.
Huh?
I don't know any other.
Okay. Jonathan, help him. Jonathan is his friend. All right, go ahead, Jonathan.
Peter denying Jesus.
Okay, 2. No, I want 5. I want a person to give me 5. You can give me all the 5. Oh, who's that? Who's that next to you? All right, go ahead. Finish the rest.
Jonah, when he ran away from the will of God, when he was like supposed to go to Nineveh and
okay.
preach to the people.
Okay. Finish. No, continue. Which other ones? Among you guys, I want you guys to finish.
Ananias and Sapphira.
Ananias and Sapphira. Excellent. Is that 4?
Yeah.
1 more. Hallelujah, Josh. It's your birthday, isn't it? Is it today?
No. Moses, when he ran away from Egypt.
Hallelujah. Well done. Now, I think Sam was giving you the mic, isn't it? After service, collect a box of chocolate for him. But you have to divide it. Yoma, if you have answered all 5, you are taking it. But you have to divide it among yourself. Make sure you have integrity. Hallelujah. Now, you can say that is in the Bible, but let's move to the secular. There are small things that we do in life that we lack integrity. Adults. We can give example. Some of us even pad our CVs, isn't it? You're looking for a job, you make your CV looking very colorful. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, that is not what you have done. I've had to be in to interview some people and some from good CVs. I said, I told my MD, no. I've gotten a candidate. By the time I interviewed him, whatever was in the CV was just a whitewash. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we stretch facts. It's a fact, but we stretch the story bigger. So that way you're even giving testimonies, isn't it? You want to make it very, very sweet. Instead of I was blind, now I see. You embellish it. Are we together? Come. Am I? People are looking at me. Or is it only me? Sometimes we omit facts deliberately. Am I correct? There's no integrity anymore. It's only when I came to Oman that you go to office that people have to write emails about what they have told you. I can look at Brother Sam and say this and this. and then tomorrow, Brother Sam will send an email. Please, can you put it in writing? Why is there in writing? There's no integrity. Your word should be your bond, isn't it? I've spoken it, you should stand by it. But we don't do that. Hallelujah. That's why we see ourselves. Thank God that I think the word for the week, the Bible passage for the week, it says, as God who keeps his covenant from generations to... Did he ask God to sign it for you? He has spoken and he is there. That's why he's God. Hallelujah. Now let's go back. Another one, trivia. Let's look at the other side. Let's look at the Bible and Friday school again. Give me four examples of people that had integrity, apart from the ones that have spoken. Four people that had integrity in the Bible. Amarachi.
Job.
That was the first one on my list. God bless you. Do you have three more, or you want support? Josh, you have spoken already. Who else? Come on. Who's going to help Amarachi?
Jesus,
okay. Do you have another one? Okay. The back, behind you, Sam.
Esther,
okay. Why did Esther have integrity?
Because she was able to free her people.
Okay, all right, okay. She did what she was asked to do, okay. All right. One more. I think that's three, is it? Let's get one in the front. One. Okay.
Joseph.
Okay, what did Joseph do? That's four, isn't it? I've gotten four. Daniel? Okay, no problem. That's fine. So we had four already. All right? Amarachi, collect chocolates for Sam. Hallelujah. Make sure you share with everybody after the service. I'm sure some of you have not seen it, isn't it? But do you believe Uncle has it? Hallelujah. Even though you have not seen it, I believe I can't be talking of integrity if the chocolates are not there. Hallelujah. God bless you. So Amara, you have to share with the people that have won. Those of you that have won, please meet Amara after the service. Job said, whatever happens, I will not sell my integrity. Am I correct? Joseph, on the other side, Daniel mentioned Joseph. Joseph had the chance of sleeping with his boss's wife. What did he do? He ran away. Jesus. I think somebody mentioned Jesus. Am I correct? Where did Jesus display his integrity? Where? When he was tempted. Am I correct? These are signs and examples of people that have integrity. There's one experience that came to me. Now, you can say these are people in the Old Testament, but it happens to us on a daily basis. Are we together? I can remember when I was working in PDO, and you have a return flight to go back home. Am I correct? And if you're booking flights, you have different age brackets. You have toddler, you have child, and then you have adult. By the time your child is 14, isn't it? Is it 14 or 13? You pay adult fare. Am I correct? And that one really pains you because you have to pay adult fare if it's coming from your pocket. So on this time around, I said, okay, they should credit my account for my ticket because he had the option of taking the money. But the money is graduated along that line. And I was sitting there, and they graduated it, and Jesse is a small toddler fee, isn't it? But they gave him that of an adult. and they credited the account, my account. Money was in the bank. And I was just looking at that money. I just said, what's going to happen to this? Now, not that somebody told me there was a difference, but I heard somebody talking about it somewhere differently. But I heard about it, but it wasn't, we had that discussion. And I looked at that money, I said, that money sitting in my account. Does PDO need that money? They don't need that money. They're very, very rich. Am I correct? They're not going to miss a couple of hundreds of reals, isn't it? And I looked at it. The money was in my account. And I just stood there. I just said, I know. I said, this is not right. Am I correct? So I walked to HR, and I went and met the guy that credited the account. I said, boss, you made a mistake. This is the amount that I'm supposed to get, but this is what was given to me. Then he looked at the system, looked at the data, but he said, he made a mistake. That they're going to deduct it for next month, you know? And I left. I said, okay, the deduction is coming, but I've done what is right. Now, that person in HR, his son happened to be working in my department. I didn't know. Are you together? That was displayed to my son that someone came back and returned money to a company. Now, I'm just giving an example that happens in life. You will have examples that you will excel, that you'll be able to cross the border. Okay? Praise the Lord. But then, if that is the good side, then why do we lack integrity? Why do we lack integrity? Why? If it's that simple, why do we lack integrity? Number one reason is inherent in our nature. Abigail, please, can you read Genesis 3, 1 to 5 for me? Please, can I have a mic here? Abigail, please, can you just read Genesis 3, 1 to 5? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5.
Genesis 3, 1 to 5. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
Excellent. Thank you so much, Abigail. That was the beginning. That was the beginning of deceit. And the second Eve fell, that became our inherent nature. That's why in the commandments, one of the commandments said, "Thou shalt not bear false." Am I correct? It's inherent in our natures. We default to that position of lack of integrity. Exodus 23, 1 to 2 says, "You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, or shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice." You cannot bear false witness. You cannot pervert justice. But for God to have put those things in Exodus shows that it was our default nature. Number two, fear and compromise. Are we together? That is the second thing. A lot of times we fail the integrity test because of fear. There's one character in the Bible, very, very famous, but he failed the integrity test. Who's that? Father Abraham. Father Abraham failed the integrity test. What was the integrity test? He was with Abimelech. Am I correct? In Genesis chapter 20, verse 1 to 17, I don't have time to read this. He came to a hostile territory, and the first thing they asked, "Who is this beautiful woman?" And what did he say? "It's his sister." He lied. And to God called him out. Am I correct? Because of fear. Children, he asks you, "Did you do this?" No, 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 I didn't do this. The default thing is to lie because you're afraid to compromise. Peer pressure. Am I correct? You lie. Adults, we need to also put some masala We lie, don't we? You're in the mix of a certain crowd, a certain class of people. They ask questions and you try to join, try to be a part and parcel of it. And something will just slip out that is not the truth. Have you been there before? Nobody wants to raise his hand. Thank you. God bless you, Brother Rajesh. Another thing also, we lie because we do not want to offend. Brother Rajesh, please. Do you have money? I need money. Unless he doesn't want to offend me. He paints a different story. Am I correct? Because you don't want to offend someone, so you want to butter it and give a false pretext. That's lack of integrity. Children, when you go to school, because you have a different standard, there's a chance that you might want to compromise. But you cannot compromise. Are we together? Another thing also is people use lack of institution for manipulation. Am I correct? People lie to manipulate the narrative. And when you lie to manipulate the narrative, you try to tweak things. Am I correct? There shouldn't be anything like white lies. There's white lies. What is a white lie? According to the definition of the world, a lie is a lie. Black, white, red, brown is a lie. But now we have the term that is a white lie. The reason deacons came to the church, what happened? Do you know why deacons were introduced in the church? Bible scholars. Because when they were sharing the goods in the early church, they were discounting some of the widows and other people of different languages, isn't it? There was no integrity in the process. That's why deacons were brought in to oversee that part. Are we together? So it's not something that starts today. Number four, integrity is expensive. Integrity is expensive. Now, I'm going to go back to engineering because I like talking about engineering, isn't it? Part of my role is about integrity of assets, okay? Have you heard of MOL? Those of you that are raising hands, MOL. Have you heard of MOL? MOL stands for Main Oil Line. Am I correct? Now, if you see that map from Salalah all the way to Muscat, there's a pipeline that runs underground. I think it's about 40 inch or thereabout, I'm not too sure. But it runs from the desert, from the oil field, all the way to Mina Fahal. Can you see the tanks here when you're passing PDO? They store the crude there and then they take it from the ship. Am I correct? So you can imagine kilometers, hundreds of kilometers of pipeline. Now, that pipeline cannot fail. There are many pipeline failures in the world. Can you just go to the next screen, please? Hallelujah. You will see that black patch. That's oil. You can see the fire. Once that pipeline loses the integrity, any of this can happen. An oil spill. Am I correct? Or fire. Now, how much does that cost? Now, let's look at it. Oman produces 1 million barrels per day. Am I correct? Averagely. After that, about 650 barrels is produced by PDO. Now, the current cost is $80. Am I correct? Per barrel. So, if that pipeline has any issue that you cannot produce for one day, you're missing out on $52 million. Is that big money? Is that big money? Losing on $52 million per day. So what you have to do is you have to make sure that that pipeline is intact. Am I correct? Because if you lose that money, it's not only money you're going to lose. You're going to lose reputation. You might even lose a life. Part of my work is to make sure that pipeline is functioning with a lot of integrity. When you put the pipeline, it has to be coated. You have to clean it almost every 2 weeks that you have pigging. You also have to put cathodic protection. just to protect it. Are we together? Joseph's integrity cost him. What did it cost him? It cost him his freedom. But in Matthew 16, 26, it says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What matters at the end of the day is not what costs you up front. I can put a design that the integrity will not have an issue. It will cost us more. But a pipeline that will run for 40 years, I think it's more than 40 years now, without any major issue. Are we together? Joseph cost him more. But the end is what matters. I'll go back to my story. Can you remember Suriah? Hallelujah. I started with Suriah, isn't it? So we went to my Eastern Arabian to go and take the car for repair. And he came out. And I looked at the guys. So I went there before. I said, "This is the issue." Then he came back and he walked in. He said, "Is it Eastern Arabian?" He came. He said, "Yes." He says, "That's his neighbor's garage." And they entered the shop and they were chatting away with his neighbor. I think I was there with Brother Banjo? I'm not too sure. I think, or I can't remember who else. But they were chatting away and they forgot about me. Someone I hit my car, met somebody that can fix the car, and they had to go and say, "Hey, excuse me, I'm here." And guess what they told me? The owner of the garage said, "Don't worry. When do you want to come? Thursday, bring it, we'll repair it." Now, for Suriah's integrity, I brought him to his neighbor's garage, and the neighbor did not charge him. Hallelujah. He never envisaged he's going to get there. Are you getting me? He never envisaged he's going to get there, he's going to be his neighbor. The car is there to get out by tomorrow by God's grace. So what am I trying to tell you is what matters at the end. Hallelujah. It might cost you in the beginning, but what happens at the end? Joseph became a prime minister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Always remember that is what happens at the end. You might think you lose everything, but you have eternity because of your integrity. And even before eternity, God will turn it around. Your CV might look basic, but God can give you the best job they can ever think of. Hallelujah. Consequences for lack of integrity. Lack of progress and failure. In the story of Abraham, am I correct? What happened? Because of Abraham's lack of integrity, the whole womb of Abimelech's household was closed. Am I correct? And because Sarah happened to be there, her own womb was also closed. Are you there? Abraham went and prayed for Abimelech, and the wombs were opened, and they could have children. Generational traditions. If you're a man of no integrity, your children might also follow suit. Abraham lacked integrity in some quarters. Am I correct? He gave birth to who? Isaac. Isaac too ended up lying. After Isaac, who else came? Huh? Jacob. And Jacob was almost like the grandfather of it. He was very, very dubious. Am I correct? It's a generational thing. You see a man, you see a child that lacks integrity, look back at his generation. That's why whatever you have to do, you have to be sure what you're doing. Gehazi. What happened to Gehazi? He took money. Am I correct? What happened to his generation? They became lepers. Because of the sin of Gehazi. Ultimately, it's death. Number three. Someone mentioned Ananias and it was instant death. Sometimes I wish we'll go back to those days where it would be instant death, isn't it? I think all of us will be attention. But because we don't see it, imagine when Ananias and Sapphira died. There was fear everywhere. I'm sure people were even saying over the truth. They will always be honest. Am I correct? Because they could see what happened. But because of God's mercy, we know we will not be cut out until the last day. We descend to involve in that. Hallelujah. God will change that. Benefits of lack of integrity. I have to be quick now. Safety and security. Proverbs 10:9 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will become known. When you have integrity, nothing matters. Am I correct? Protection, 2. Psalm 25:21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve you, for I wait for you. Number 3, guidance. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Talent will take you to the top. Am I correct? But integrity will keep you there. You understand what I'm saying? That's why you see a lot of men of God, and I think that's why we have to pray for a lot of men of God. They'll get somewhere because of the anointing. But one case of indiscretion, they don't remain at the top. Hallelujah. So integrity gives you guidance. Family, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Some of the things that we're enjoying today, am I correct? It's because of the integrity of our parents. Your social son, your social person's son, your social person's child, come in. I knew your father, I knew your mother. Are we together? That's it. How do we preserve our integrity? Sorry, I have to go very quick. Speak the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Integrity means telling the truth when it hurts, isn't it? You need to speak the truth. Hallelujah. As I said, it might be expensive, but you need to speak the truth. Put away all deceitful mouth and put perverse lips from far from me. That's what Solomon said. Number 2, stand for the truth. Speak the truth, but stand for the truth. Things will be brought your way. You have to be able to stand for the truth. That's where we fall. We know the truth, but we cannot stand on the side of the truth. In my office, not everything my MD says is correct. And when it's not correct, I go back and tell him, say, boss, I don't think this is correct. Now, sometimes when you speak the truth, I have that challenge. Sometimes I might just give it to you directly. But sometimes you have to be able to put it in love, isn't it? My boss, I won't tell him in a good meeting, I say, no, this is wrong. It will pinch his ego, isn't it? I'll go and sit down with him and say, boss, this, and thank God he listens. Are you getting what I'm saying? But one thing, you have to speak and you have to stand for the truth. There was an example, Paul and Peter. Who stood for the truth? Paul, against Peter, that was one of the disciples. I'll read that quickly, Galatians 2, 11 to 13. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. When they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those men were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Peter was there. Paul was coming in to the church. But he went and told him, hey, brother Peter, what you're doing is wrong. How many times can we stand for the truth? I used to tell my son this. And I'm still saying it. It's one of the motives I feel is very, very apt. If you stand for something, they may hate you. Am I correct? If you stand for something, they may hate you, but they will respect you. Understand this. If you stand for something on principle, they may hate you, but they will respect you. Are you with me? I was in my career that time. I was in the UK, I was in Aberdeen. And there was a shutdown. They were maintaining platforms. And there was a piece of equipment that was required to go offshore. And they had a special flight. Then it's not onshore that you drive. You have to take a helicopter, isn't it? Since it's on the water. There was a special helicopter flight to take materials. And that was what was missing. And they called me to sign off on this material that was supposed to go offshore. I looked at the certificates. I think the material was from Poland then. I can't remember. But it did not meet the requirements. I said, no, I'm not going to sign off. They called the project manager. He called me on my mobile phone. I said, I'm not going to sign off. It's not wrong. The project director called me. I needed to sign off. And I said, Bob, if you want to sign off, sign it off. But I'm not willing to sign this. They were upset. They were angry. The chopper went to whatever they could move. That shutdown had to be delayed for the next couple of days. The next day, they went and sourced a different material, came in, and I signed it off. The project director was upset. Project manager was upset. Fast forward. I stood for something that was not favorable. The next couple of weeks in the office was pointing at me. In fact, when the project manager came and pointed at me and said, you will see you in this office. Down the line, a vendor made a mistake and he was blacklisted. And they brought me to the meeting. Project director, director of quality, discipline manager. And I said, no, they should give him a second chance. The rest didn't want to give him a second chance. And I was rooting for him because I didn't want to go and start the process. So the decision came down. The director of quality, global, said, no, this thing has to go out. But it was Bob O'Neill's project, British Gas project. And in the midst of everybody, he said, Emmanuel, what do you think? I said, for me, I'll go with these additional checks. Then he said, I'll go with Emmanuel. Hallelujah. The project director started shouting, no, this is a quality issue. Then the director now, the project director and the quality say, it's my project. I take responsibility. But what I said matters. Now, rewind that was because of what I stood for. He knew I would not get it wrong. So please, in your life, young men, children, stand for something. They will hate you, but they will respect you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Integrity means keeping a promise when you narrow that knot, isn't it? Parents, don't promise your kids something if you don't want to follow through it. You understand what I'm saying? If you plan to do it, you're not sure when, don't give date. If you give date, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. Even to your spouse, am I correct? Don't promise what you cannot give your spouse. Hallelujah. Usually I'll say, I've heard you. After I've heard you, the next level will be, okay, I'll give it to you. When, I'm not sure. But then I'll have to fulfill it. Am I correct? Integrity means that you confront problems when it's easier to walk away. That sometimes we have problems, isn't it? But because you don't want to stay the fact, you walk away. You're dodging it. Am I correct? You dodge it because you don't want to confront the problem. Is that a man of integrity? No. Face it up front and give the answer. Guard your hearts and minds. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all due diligence, for out of springs the issues of life. I'll tell you something. Integrity is built on small steps. Understand this. The small steps, as you're building it, when the bigger problems comes, you'll be able to withstand it. Are you with me? The same way integrity is broken on small steps. A child that cheats in the exams, you might look at it as a small problem. When he grows up, he can steal from a company. Am I correct? It's in small steps. If someone can trust you 1 riyal, tomorrow someone can trust you with 10 million riyals. It's built up in small steps, and it's also broken up in small steps. So you have to guard your heart and mind at any particular point in time. Does that make sense? Money is not an issue for me because, I mean, when I said integrity with money, no, I don't want to. I worked in a bank that I had an access to debit a whole suspense account that will not be audited till month end. I can take 500 million naira then. Nobody will know the better. Put in my account and move out. I was enticed back then. Hallelujah. So what does it say? It's built in small steps. So work on the day-to-day issues of integrity that you have. And I'll say something. I will do what is right and trust God for the result. Hallelujah. I will do what is right and then trust God for the result. Suriya was an unbeliever. He did what was right, and the outcome was beautiful for him. Is you do your own part? Is it to speak for the truth? Is it to stand for the truth? If it's taken, it's taken. If it's not taken, you have done your own bit and you have moved on. Am I correct? Trust God for the result. Joseph did what was right. He trusted God for the result. Your friends might abandon you in school because you have certain sets of standards. Am I correct? But at the end of the day, the result will be glorious for you. Hallelujah. To conclude, integrity does not mean perfection. We're all work in progress. Hallelujah. I am work in progress with regards to personal integrity. You are work in progress. Hallelujah. But I will go to Job chapter 27, verse 3 to 6. It says, as long as my breath is in me and the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should say to you, right, till I die. I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. Now, my challenge to you, is there any part of your life, if you can remember the drawing that we had, the diagram that we had, is there any facets of your life that has been compartmentalized, that has been compartments, that is not whole? I want you to go back to God and say, may I be whole. May I be one integer. May they see the Emmanuel in church is the Emmanuel at home, the Emmanuel in the office, the Emmanuel in the social life. May I be complete in Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a soul searching for you. I cannot do it for you. But you have to be consistent. As we run this race, as I claim, integrity is important. It's what will take us to heaven. And when the Lord says, my good and faithful servant, that's why you see, this is a man This is a woman of integrity. God bless you.
Amen. Let me just start from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. That is 5a now. Examine yourself as to whether you are in faith. Brethren, we have heard about integrity this afternoon. I want you to examine yourself and see whether you fall in line. Proverbs 10:9 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely. What is your mind telling you now? What is your conscience telling you? Where have you compromised? Can you stand before man, not even God, and your conscience will not trouble you? We all know our conscience is talking to us right now. Let's be on our feet as we quickly pray and ask God for his guidance and strength to maintain high integrity every time. Begin to talk to God, asking for his guidance and strength to maintain integrity at every time. Talk to God. When the Spirit of God dwells in you, when the Spirit of God lives in you, yes, the integrity will be in your path. You will be in the path of integrity. Ask God, God, guide me. Give me the strength to maintain high integrity. Help me to always walk honestly and truth. Even when it may be challenging, talk to God. It's only the Spirit of God that can help you. We heard about the story of Daniel. It is integrity. The Spirit of God dwell in him. Tell God to give you the courage to stand up for what is right. Even in the face of opposition, tell God, Lord, give me the courage to stand up for the right thing. Ask God to always remind you that integrity is not just important for your own personal growth, but also for the impact it will have all around you. Talk to God. The testimony brother has given, that man will continue to share how brother also have reacted by appreciating him. That will continue to encourage him. Talk to God. That God strengthen me. Above all, fill me with your Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you, yes, you will maintain high grade of integrity. You will not compromise. So shall it be. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father, we want to thank you and bless your name for your message that we have heard this afternoon. Father, we pray that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we continue to guide us and direct our path towards integrity, either private life or public life, that we'll be able to maintain your integrity every second. Father, let your Spirit live in us in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to make amends wherever we have gone wrong. Wherever we have gone wrong, Father, help us to seek reconciliation before you. Father, guide us, lead us, direct us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God, for this message we have had this afternoon. Bless your servant that you have used for us. More anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the depth of the knowledge you are giving unto him never dry up in Jesus' name. Pray for him and his family, that God Almighty will continue to bless him in Jesus' name. Bless him, bless sister, bless the children in the mighty name of Jesus. And he continue to bless his ministry as well in Jesus' name. And for you that have heard from him this afternoon, You also will be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. We bless your holy name. Lord, for the rest of the week, all our activities, they are in your hand. Take full control in the mighty name of Jesus. And for the wedding that is coming, Father, let your wish reign among us in the mighty name of Jesus. We commit everyone that will be traveling to this place for that wedding. Father, we commit them into your hand. Be with them. Secure them. Let them reach here safely in the mighty name of Jesus. As many will be moving up and down towards this wedding, Father, guide them. Protect them in the mighty name of Jesus. Give them joy. Give them happiness in the mighty name of Jesus. And we are using that wedding as point of contact for those that are looking for good thing like that, that you give them the bones of their bones in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. And for the rest of the year, Father, our programs, they are all in your hand. Take control in Jesus' name. And let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. And we remember our members that have traveled. They have gone safely. They shall return with testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. As we go now, let your presence go with us in Jesus' name. And when we come back here next week, it shall be testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all. Do have a wonderful